Live Creative Now, episode 45.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Melissa Dinwiddie, Passion Pluralite Artist, Happiness Catalyst, and Creativity Instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, it's a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, the truth is that no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it's how you change the world. The last episode, episode 44, I gave you a little peek into one of the really cool things we do inside my Creative Sandbox membership community. You have to go listen to that episode to hear what it is. Episode 44. Today, episode 45, I want to talk about something that came up in the Creative Sandbox community just a few days ago that I think is really relevant to so many people. But first, I wanted to let you know that pretty soon I am going to have some space available to take on a couple of new coaching mentoring clients, and I'll be opening up spots for just 48 hours. First come, first served. Spots usually go very quickly. When those spots are filled, or in 48 hours, whichever comes first, the doors will be closed to work together, and you can add yourself to the wait list for next time. If you want to be notified this time when the doors are open, you need to get on the wait list. And the way to do that is to go to livecreativenow.com/waitlist, all one word, livecreativenow.com/waitlist. So if you're interested in working with me, coaching and mentoring, go to that page, livecreativenow.com/waitlist, and be sure to add your name and email address, because that is the list that I will be notifying when I do open up those spots. So with that, let's get on with today's episode. Someone in my Creative Sandbox community mentioned the other day that she's working on a professional certification in her field as a creative pro. Pretty cool. And that certification, like the work for that certification, is eating up a lot of her time, a lot of her creative time, right? And the work is fun. She's enjoying it. And it's certainly creative. So the question is, does it count as sandbox time? It counts as homework for her certification, but does it also count as creative sandbox time? Because, you know, hey, there's no rules in the creative sandbox, right? Well, yes and no. There is no wrong in the creative sandbox. That's rule number one of my creative sandbox manifesto. And if you've been following me at all, you've heard me say that many times. But creative practices are not all equal. Creative work feeds us differently depending on where the constraints come from. When you are completely free of external constraints and you have nobody to please but yourself, it is just a qualitatively different experience than when you're creating to please somebody else, whether that person is a teacher and you're trying to get a good grade or pass the class, or it's a client who is going to be paying you if they're happy with the work, or it's an audience that you're going to be sharing the work with or performing for. When I decided way back in the mid-90s to turn my creative passion into a business as a calligrapher and an artist, I really thought that I had hit the creative life jackpot. The thing that put food on the table, at least metaphorically, at first it was very much a hobby business, didn't bring much income at all, but the thing that earned my money, fed my stomach as it were, also fed my soul. How lucky was I? That is every creative person's dream, right? Well, except that it didn't quite work that way. Making art on assignment is fundamentally different from creative sandbox time. And in my case, as an artist who at the time was creating artworks on commission for private clients, my number one requirement was to please my customer. And even if I didn't take art direction from them, even if I have full creative control, even if you have full creative control, let's talk about you. Whenever an end customer is involved, or whenever you're required to please a teacher, the reality is that you just don't feel as free to muck around and make messes as you do when you are intentionally diving into the sandbox. So if you need to please a teacher to get an A or pass a course, you have to do work to their specifications, whether you like it or not, right? That's the deal. Please the teacher, get the A. If you're making something on commission, then it's pretty likely that the person who hired you because they liked your previous work. They saw work that you've done, that you did before, and they want something that's similar. Might be different in a lot of ways, but they hired you because they liked something you did before. So they're probably not looking for you to do something wildly new and different. So your job, if you want to keep attracting customers and pleasing them and getting good referrals and all that, your job is to stay in familiar territory, safe territory, right? And even if you're making something that's not on commission, you're making it just to make it and to sell to a particular audience, whether that's selling for money or just because you want to please a particular audience. The audience that likes your work, again, likes your previous work. That's what they know. And they want more of the same. So if you veer off in a new direction, they may not like that at all. I mean, I'm thinking of artists like the band Genesis. Their early work was pretty experimental, and they got this like hardcore fan base who loved that experimental work. I don't even know the musical style. I'm sure some listener will educate me on that. But when they became more pop, you know, more popular, more run of the mill, they really ticked off their original audience. Now, they attracted a much larger audience, but their existing audience did not like it. So the reason I'm telling you this is that making art in the mind space of this has to get me an A, or this is to please my client, or this is to sell to my existing audience, and I want them to buy it, right? By its very nature, when you are in that mind space, it has a tendency to rein you in. And if you get reined in enough, guess what? Pretty soon you will come to a complete stop. That is exactly what happened to me. I learned the hard way, learned from my experience. I learned that my creative career was not enough to keep me creatively fulfilled and to keep me happy. My creative career did not by itself make for a full color life. And in fact, the really sad thing is that I became this really pathetic creature, a professional artist who never created anything new. Pathetic. So, so sad. The irony here is that we need to make messes and explore in order to find our best, richest, most original, most authentic, most creative work. We have to have the freedom to make crap. And I know nobody likes to make crap. I don't like to make crap, believe me. I want everything I make to be awesome. But we need the permission to make crap because, remember, It's the crap that fertilizes the good stuff. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. The pressure to make something good, that is really, really dangerous, because nothing shuts us down faster than having to be good, having to be great, having to be awesome. God forbid having to be perfect. When you don't have permission to make crap, whether it's coming from, you know, internally from yourself or externally from a client or a teacher or an audience, you tighten up. You play it safe. You repeat what you've done before, right? That is not true creativity. Repeating something you've done before is not true creativity. Last year, I made a painting that I have in the show notes. It's basically a bunch of scribbly circles, pastels and pencil and colored pencil. And I think there's some watercolor in there. And there's a snapshot over in the show notes, livecreativenow.com/045 will take you to the show notes. I really liked how this piece came out. It was a total experiment when I made it, and it has a bazillion layers, and I really like it. So guess what I did? I tried to make another one. I tried to repeat it. Not exactly. I wasn't, you know, trying to make a reproduction, like a photocopy of what I had done before, but I wanted to create more paintings in a similar style, but in a different color scheme. I thought it'd be really cool to do a series like this painting. And oh my God, what a disaster. The next painting didn't work at all. Until I let go of this vision that I had of making the like pink and red and orange version of this blue circle painting, and I just let myself play. That is when it stopped being static. It stopped being a boring exercise, and it started getting risky and a lot more interesting. True creativity is leaning into uncertainty. It's going out on a limb, reaching for what you don't already know. And that is what the creative sandbox is for. It's where we go to intentionally make messes and get risky. And that is why you still need regular, designated creative sandbox playtime, even if you're a creative pro and you're creating all day long for your work. And in fact, I would argue that if you are a creative pro, you need creative sandbox playtime even more than everyone else does. Because the time we spend creating to please others, you know, to get the A, to earn the commission, yes, it's creative. Yes, it might even be really fun, but it's not as generative as the time we spend in the creative sandbox. In fact, even if it feeds me in some powerful ways, when I am in that place of pleasing others, it also sort of sucks up energy. It's kind of like living on bread alone. Bread is yummy. God, give me a good loaf of challah bread. I love it. I actually don't eat wheat anymore or yeast, but let's just stick with the metaphor. I could enjoy bread, but if that's all I ate, it would eventually make me really sick. Every time I've created a new website, every time I've developed a new course, every time I've written a new article or recorded a new podcast episode, there's a way in which it feeds me. And many, many times I've gotten so swept up in a new project that I'm doing for my business. I get obsessive about it and I let everything else go. And it feels like all I need right now is this one thing. Right now, all I need is this one thing. But after a while, it's like a diet of bread alone. No matter how yummy that bread is, I start craving other kinds of nourishment. And if I don't get it, things start to break down. If all you ate was bread, your body would not do so well. It'd probably start to break down. And this is why we need dedicated, creative sandbox playtime. Creative sandbox play refuels me. It's like all the other nutrients that my body needs that aren't in bread. I don't know if this metaphor actually works. Maybe it's totally stupid. But I do know that creative sandbox playtime is essential. Now, recently, since the beginning of the year, I have been doodling every morning in bed for many weeks now. And although I have to confess that I really do hope every time I start a new doodle that it's going to come out really well and that I'll be really pleased with it and that I would be really proud to include it in a coloring book eventually, I confess that. That is all true. And at the same time, I very intentionally let go of the outcome and let myself just play, just muck about in the creative sandbox. I allow myself the freedom to create crap. And sometimes I'm not pleased with how a drawing comes out. Sometimes it is crap, or at least I feel it's crap. But because I've given myself the freedom for each drawing to be whatever it ends up being, my relationship to the work and my relationship to the creative process is inherently different. Creative sandbox playtime is like meditation. It actually reminds me the headspace that I'm in when I'm deep in doodling or deep in playing with paint or deep in making up stuff with my looper. It's very much like the headspace I'm in when I meditate. It's generative. It's regenerative. It really feeds me. So don't make the mistake that I made when I started my creative business, my business from my art. I thought that's all I needed. I was living a fully creative life. I was being fed, right? No, you really, really need time to make messes, be in that intentional creative sandbox space of being a four-year-old. You really need that. And you don't need it for huge chunks of time. Rule number four of my creative sandbox manifesto is think tiny and daily. My doodling in the morning is 20 minutes. Sometimes it's only 15. That's all. I'd love it to be a lot more. But even if that's all I get, it feeds me in a way that I need. And you need the same thing. And, you know, if you are a creative pro and you have to draw from your creative well, you absolutely need to fill it. And I know Julia Cameron of The Artist's Way recommends or utilizes the idea of the artist date, which is such a beautiful thing, where you go and you spend 3 hours by yourself refilling your well, going to the beach, going to a museum, doing something that is not using your creative energy, but refilling your creative energy. And there's a way in which being in the creative sandbox, you are creating and you are using your creative energy, but it's so free and open that for me, it really fills me. So yeah, you know, do your artist date as well as doing your creative sandbox time, but you need to keep pushing and experimenting and making messes and exploring if you're going to bring your best self to your creative career. So that is what I have to say about that. I hope this has been helpful. That's it. That's a wrap. If you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and go over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review, which helps out so much because that's how people find the show. The podcasts with lots of reviews get show up higher on the search results. So it would mean so much to me if you would leave a review, and I might actually read your review on a future episode. Meanwhile, don't forget, if you are interested in working with me, get on the waitlist at livecreativenow.com/waitlist, all one word, and I will let you know when I open the doors to the one or two spots that will be coming available soon. For just 48 hours, those doors will be open. So go to livecreativenow.com/waitlist. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah!
Creative Now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.